Okay, so we're on Daf Tzadi today, right? Daf Tzadi. You get it. Okay, so I'll begin three lines from the top on Tzadi Amud Aleph, 90A, three lines from the top. So the Gemara says, Klipei Egozim, again, we're talking about the different shiurim, the different measures of items to be chayav for Hotza'ah. So if you remember, when it comes to Ochlim, it's generally kigrogeret, like the size of a dried fig. If it comes to mashkim, it's generally revius. And then for other things, there are different shiurim. So it's a quote from the Mishnah, klipe egozim, uklipe rimonim, satisu pua, kidetsboa beged katan. If a person, klipe egozim, it's not the shell of a nut. It's apparently like some sort of husk on the nut when it grows. And then klipe rimonim is the peel of a pomegranate. I can tell you from pomegranates, my experience is they really die a lot. They're like the seeds. So, but you can see how the peel might be like, and we're talking about dyes here. Satis is a safflower, and then upua is the matter, M-A-D-D-E-R. So he says, kidilis bo'abeg and katan. So all of them, if I carry out enough on Shabbos to convert it into a dye, that would dye the beged katan is a small piece of cloth on top of the woman's hat, I'll be chayav for hotzah on Shabbat. So the Gemara says, Ruminio, and this we pose a contradiction from the Mishnah we had earlier. So it says, Hamotzi samanim shruyim ki letzboa behen dugma le'ira. If a person takes out, samanim shruyim are like these herbs that we're speaking about, but they've been steeped in water. So in other words, they've been mixed with water. He says the shear is dugma le'ira. The shear is if it's enough to dye a small swatch. In other words, like the dyer, you know, he wants, you know, different samples to show customers. So he has a dugma. So if it's enough to dye a small swatch, I'll be chayav for hotza'ah. And he says le'ira. Ira is like this rod that they would, you know, like with the weft threads, they would pass it through. And so there's a piece of cloth that could fit on the other end of this like bobbin, whatever, but it's just the size of the cloth. That's what he's at with. So, but the point being that here in our Mishnah, we're saying when it comes to taking the dyes, you need enough for the beged katan, the small cloth that's on the woman's hat. And here it's saying for a very small swatch, it's a much smaller shear. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Huah, he says that a person wouldn't go to the effort to steep these different dyes in order for a dugma. In other words, if it's already been converted into a dye, then it's the shear to dye the small dugma, the small sample. But I'm talking about carrying out like the herbs which can be processed into a dye. So I'm not going to make a dye for a small swatch. Like the dye, it's an effort to make a dye. I'm going to make much more dye than that. So the minimum amount of dye that I would make would be enough dye to dye that would be the chashivas, to dye the small cloth that goes on the woman's hat. Everybody got this? Any questions, comments, or thoughts, anything we did? All right, let me go on. Now, then we spoke about like these reagents that to move the blood. Remember, we had the Gemara Nida mentioned seven reagents, but the Mishnah mentioned five. So the first is Mei Raglayim, which is urine. So it's strange. We don't think of it as a cleansing agent, but Bizman Chazal apparently it was. So Mei Raglayim. So Tana Mei Raglayim ad Ben Arba Imyom. So a Tana taught in a Braisa that urine is ad Ben Arba Imyom. So the Bach does not learn the word ben, and neither does Tosfos. But if you have the word ben, lechora, it would mean like from a urine from a child, not an adult urine. In other words, it would be urine from a child up until 40 days old, up until the child is that age. But leaving out the word ben is ad arba imyom. So the way Tosfos takes it, it depends where you're beginning. Are you beginning from zero or beginning from like 1,000? So Tosfos takes it, it means that the urine is from 3 days to 40 days old, that's what we're talking about. Ad arba imyom. So 40 is like the maximum. And then Rashi takes it that urine is good, you know, beginning from the larger, going to the smaller. Ad arba imyom. If it's less than 40 days old, you can't use it. All right. Now, neter is another of these like soaps or reagents. Neter, Tana, neter Alexandrite, velo neter on Pantrin. It has to be the Alexander, like Netter is like Nitra, they say. So Netter Alexandria, the Alexandria Netter, and not Anpantrin Netter. So Anpantrin, the article brought down that in the Gemara Masechet Nida, it's brought down different Antipatrit. So Antipatrit is a place that's mentioned in the Gemara Maseches Yoma on Samach Tet, where Shimon HaTzadik met Alexander the Great. If you remember, there was this incident. Remember, Shimon HaTzadik was the Kohen Gadol, and he's rushing to greet Alexander the Great when Alexander the Great is coming to Eretz Israel, and the Tzedukim were also running to I think the Tzedukim were running to meet him. Anyway, he gets there before the Tzedukim. And Alexander the Great, like, he favors Shimon HaTzadik. He said he had this dream, and he saw this image of Shimon HaTzadik in the dream. Anyway, but he met him in a place on Patrit, so that's the place. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. But apparently, the Alexandrian Netter is stronger than the Netter on Patrit. Borid, Amar Rav Yehuda Zechol. So we're trying to figure out what Borid is. So Amar Rav Yehuda Zechol. So Rav Yehuda says it refers to sand. Bahatanya Haborit vachol, but in a brisa we refer to a brisa refers to borit and chol. So Ella, my borit ki kavrita. Borit is sulfur, is what the Gemara thinks. So the same as gafrit. Gafrit is sulfur. Kavrita is sulfur. So Meitve, on this we ask a question from the following brisa. The brisa says hosifu alehan. Now here, this brisa is talking about dinim of the shmita year, certain dinim by shmita. Hosifu alehan hachalbitzin. They added on these following items for a certain dinim for Shemitah. So he says, now we said that borit was sulfur. He says, V'isak da'it of kavrita, kavrita mi'ita b'shrid. Are any in the dinim of Shemitah, is sulfur in any way subject to the dinim of Shemitah? And then he quotes Vahatanya Zaklal Klushish Ikar Yeshu Shvid. Something has a root, it's subject to the Dinam Shemitah. Vishainlo Ikar Ainlo Shvid. If it doesn't have a root, it's not subject to the Dinam Shemitah. So it can't be that borid is sulfur. So out with that, Hezber. Ela my borid ahalo. So borid is ahalo. Rashi sometimes says aloe, some sort of, again, reagent. Vahatanya Vahaborit Vahalo. But another brisa mentions borid and it mentions ahalo. So he says, Trey Gavni Ahalo. And those borid is a type of ahalo. All right. Let me just get to the Mishnah and then I'll pause. We'll take some questions. Kimolia. So again, Kimolia is another one of these soaps or reagents. So he says, Amar of Yehuda Shloftutz. It's Shloftutz. I don't know what Shloftutz is, but that's what it is. Ashleg. Amar Shmuel, Shaltin l'chol nechuti yama. So Shmuel says, I inquired of all the Yordei Hayam, the people who were the seafarers. He says, Va'amru li Shonana Shemei. He said the name for Ashleg is called Shonana. U'mishtakach benukva debar ganita. It's found in like the holes of a pearl. He says, U'mafkile beramsa deparzal. They can take it out with this iron instrument. So those are the reagents. All right. Anyway, any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did so far? Everybody good? Right? Nice to see everybody. All right. All right. So I'm going to go on then. All right. Let's see further. Okay. Let's take the next Mishnah. Okay. So we're on Tzadi Yamin Aleph, around midway down the column in the Mishnah. So again, we're talking about the shear for Hotzah for different items on Shabbat. The idea is if it's Davar Chashuv, if it has Chashivas, and it's just that, and that's a common use that people have it, then that's the shear for Hotzah. So the manit in pilpelet kol shehu. Pilpelet, it's a type of pepper, but it's not the cooking pepper. Like the pepper that we would normally use, like for cooking, so we know that the Gemara had said a different shear earlier for that. So the Gemara had mentioned, one second. Yeah, so... Yeah, ordinary pepper is yuchayev for the amount for seasoning. This is going to be a kol shehu. So pilpelet kol shehu, any amount. So this pilpelet is used, the person keeps in the mouth for good breath. So whatever the pilpelet is. But itron kol shehu. Itron, a type of tar, kol shehu. It's going to come out, and I'm not sure exactly how to use this. Itron is going to be It's going to be a type of refuah that a person would use. And the Gemara is going to say that you use it for like a splitting headache. He says, so it's a kol shehu. Mine besamim umine matachot kol shehen. If it's types of besamim, like fragrances, and mine matacho, types of metals, so a kol shehu is considered chashuv for them. Me'avneim mizbeach, me'afar mizbeach. If a person takes from the stones of the mizbeach, from the afar of the mizbeach, the dirt of the mizbeach, mechek sfarim means like the worm-infested books. If I take like a piece of this worm-infested book, umekek mitpachotehen, or the worm-infested mantle on the sefer. Again, like the mitpachad, like the books are in scrolls, so it's a mitpachad kol shehu. Shemasino tam legonzan, because we would be masnei, we would save it to put it in the geniza. So any amount we would save to put in geniza, so any amount has chashivas. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, afamotzi mishamshei avodah zarah kol shehu. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says that if a person takes up mishamshei avodah zarah, mishamshei avodah zarah, here in the article said they said things that enhance the avodah zarah, but I think there's also tools used to worship the avodah zarah. So he says that's a kol shehu. Shenemar v'libach biyadcham amuman menacherim. Let's look at the Rashi on that. Look at Rashi or higher than where we are at the end of the Mishnah. Ma'uma, Alma Achshvei Krala Isura. So we see the Torah, in other words, you should not have anything from that which is prohibited. So the Pasuk gives anything a chashivus. That's the way the Tana Rabbi Yehuda says. Bahadit Nan, Kol Shenu Kasher Latzni V'chulei, V'kim L'mi Ute Atzei Sheri. Really, if you remember the Gemara earlier, we had an Ayin Hay that, like kol kasher lahatznia. If something, it's an amount that somebody would be matznia, and we said, what is kol coming to be marbe? And we said, it's coming lemiute atzei asherah. In other words, atzei asherah not. In other words, atzei asherah, you're not chayav for hotzan Shabbos, because you're under an obligation to destroy the atzei asherah. So the Gemara says, the loka Rabbi Yehuda. That's not like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, that Mishnah is going like the Chachamim, and Rabbi Yehuda holds his sheet. The Chachamim hold that if you take Atzei Asherah on Shabbos, you're not chayav for Hotza'ah, because it's subject to be destroyed. And the Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that, no, lo yibach biyachamu menachem, I can't have any amount of it. So it really is coming out, according to the Tana Rabbi Yehuda, that it the reason it's chayav for Hotza'ah is I get it out of my house, and it was a positive that way. So there's a whole discussion whether this is connected to the Malacha Shenis Tzricha L'Gufa, right? Rabbi Yehuda holds that Malacha Shenis Tzricha L'Gufa is chayav on Shabbat. Remember? Everybody remember? So here, I'm taking the Cheftza to be out of the house. So it may or may not be connected to that Machloket. All right. Any questions on the Mishnah?
Yeah, can you explain that machloket again? I missed it.
You mean about the, yeah, so the Chachamim hold in an earlier Mishnah that you're not chayav for Hotza'ah for Atzei Asherah on Shabbat, because Atzei Asherah you have to destroy. So you're not chayav for Hotza'ah on it. In other words, it's like, it has no chashivas to it. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that the Torah admonishes you not to have any bit of this, of that which is prohibited. So he views it as having some chashivas. And the chashivas would be, like, I'm getting it out of my house. You understand what I'm saying? Like, I don't have this in my house anymore. So since any little bit has that chashivas, so he holds that I'm chai for hotza'ah. So I was saying it might be connected, and the Arsh will mention this, the idea of malacha shenis tzricha l'gufa. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda holds that malacha shenis tzricha l'gufa m'chayiv. So again, there's different ways to define malacha shenis tzricha l'gufa, but usually I want to move something so it should be at place B. Here I want to move it so it's not in place A. So I want to add to my reshus so it may be connected to that machloket. Is that okay? All right. Any other questions, comments, or thoughts? All right, let's keep moving. All right, so we're on the first line of the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Pilpelet kol shehu l'mayachazia. So pilpelet, this type of pepper, kol shehu, any amount. So what is any amount of pilpelet, what is it ruwi for? It says, l'reach haped, helps you with your bad breath. So that's where they would keep it in the mouth. Itran kol shehu, itran is like the tar, kol shehu, l'mayachazia. What is any amount of tar good for? Nor says Litzilchata. Litzilchata, maybe Michael will help us with this. Rashi learns, where is Silchata? Ke'ev Chatzia Rosh. Rashi says a pain in half the head. And they had a fancy word for it here in the art scroll. which was,
migraine.
What is it? Hemi something.
Migraine.
Yeah. Hemicrania. Anyway, so I don't understand how the tar would work. I don't know if you're supposed to eat the tar or what's supposed to do with this tar. Michael, you have any thoughts on this? Can't hear you, but.
Topical. You put it on half the cranium. On half
you would
the skull.
Apply it on the skin. You think.
Topical, yeah.
Yeah. Are you familiar with a reason why that would help or not?
It's as believable or understandable as injections of different trigger points help migraines.
All right.
Okay. All right. Botox helps migraines.
All right.
No different than Botox.
All right. Let's see further. Now, mini besamim, taisa besamim, which are fragrances, kol shehen. Tana rabbanan, amotzi reach raw, kol shehu. If a person carries out something that gives a bad fragrance, I'm chayiv with a kol shehu for that. He says, shemen tov kol shehu. I bring out like a fragrant oil, so it's kol shehu. Argaman is a type of dyed wool, so argaman kol shehu. They said purple. So I don't know, like techelet is like, I don't know, like sky blue, this is purple. So he says, any amount. Ubetulet averet achad. Ubetulet averet is like a young rose, is like one petal of a young rose is enough to be mechayev of you. Okay, mine matachot kol shein. If a person takes out any amount of metal, he's chai for otsan shabbat. My chazi, what is it? What can I use any amount of metal for? Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar omer, shekin ru'i la'asot mimena darvan katan. So Shimon Elazar says, I can make a small goad with it. A goad is something you prod the animal. So I can make a very small goad and, the animal will get moving. So, All right, just a minute. That phone rang. Let me just attend to it. 1 minute. All right. Any event. So let's see back in the Gemara. Now Tana Rabbanan Ha'omer. Am I up to Tana Rabbanan? Right. Okay. So Tana Rabbanan Ha'omer Harei Barzel. Now this is just related. It's not Hilchot Shabbat, but we're talking about Shiurim with the metal. So we're shifting to another area in Halacha where the Shiur of a metal comes into play. So the Bryce says, if a person says Harei Lai Barzel, he agrees, he undertakes to give a certain a metal to the base of Mikdash. But he doesn't specify how much. He says, Achir Momrim, Lo Yivchot Me Amal Amma. He should give at least, and his Barzel is iron, so he should give at least one Amma by one Amma of iron. It's for the Bet HaKabayit, for the upkeep of the base of Mikdash. He should give at least a piece of iron that measures one Amma by one Amma. And an Amma could be like a foot and a half, 2 feet. So Lamay Chazia, what could that be used for? Amar of Yosef Lakalya Orev. So it's for the crow chaser. You may remember, Dafyomi people may remember, we had, I think, in Masechet Midot, on the roof of the Beis HaMikdash. So they would have, like, the roof would have sort of spikes in it to keep the birds away. So it's the raven chaser is called, Lakalya Orev. So, and we'll see in a minute in Rashi. But Ika de Amri, others say that the version of the Brisa goes like this. Achirim Omrim is others say, and we know the Gemara in Masechet Horiot says, right, it's Rabbi Meir when it says Achirim Omrim. It's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Natan were thrown out of the base Medrash, and they said, but we need their Torah, so when we quote Rabbi Meir, we'll say Achirim Omrim. When we quote Rabbi Natan, we'll say Yesh Omrim. So he says, Achirim Omrim, Lo Yivchot Mikaya Orev. So in other words, in the Brisa, it didn't say Lo Yivchot Mi Amal Amma. It says Lo Yivchot Mikaya Orev. He should give at least enough for the crow chaser. He says, Vakama, how much? Amar Yosef Amal Amma. All right, now let's just look at the Rashi on that. Let's see the Rashi. Lakaya Orev. Everybody have it in the Rashi, higher than where we are. Lakaya Orev. Tabla Ochel Amma Hayuosin. They had these plates of metal that were very sharp on the edges. He says, "Umasmrin chadin bekulan," and they had like sharp nails in them. So they would cover the roof of the Beis HaMikdash with it to keep away the ravens from nesting over there. All right, now, one second. All right. We'll do a little piece on this. This is in the story at the end of the Al Hadaf, but he says, so we mentioned the whole thing. The Ben Yehuda notes that this arrangement of sharp iron plates actually kept away all birds. So he says, why then is this layer specifically referred to as Kalya Orev, the raven chaser, not simply as a bird chaser? Why the ravens singled out? So the Gemara Masechik Tubar on Daf Mem Tet tells us the raven is characteristically known as a cruel bird. He says the verse in Tehillim, which we say in Pesukim de Zimra, says Notein lebei malach mal v'nei rei b'asher yikrau. You give to an animal its food, lebnei orev, to the like the raven's offspring that they call out. So why is the raven mentioned in the pasuk? It's because the adult bird does not provide for its own young. In other words, the raven is unique; it lets its young fend for itself. So the pasuk in Tehillim says you give lebnei orev b'asher yikrau. You give it to the young ravens that they call out to you. The Beis HaMikdash was the institution which represented Hashem's infinite mercy and compassion upon the world and his creations which reside throughout the globe. The prayers and the offerings which the Jews brought evoked the kindness of Hashem to spread in Eretz Yisrael and beyond. It would therefore be especially inappropriate for the raven specifically to come and rest upon the roof of the sanctuary. So the raven represents cruelty. The Beis HaMikdash represents rachamim. This is why the Kalya Orev was known as such, to exemplify the idea the Beis HaMikdash is a place of peace and harmony, not a place of cruelty and selfishness. This is the same concept we find regarding the Mizbeach. Mizbeach's purpose is to extend life and promote vitality in the world. We're committed not to use iron, because iron is connected to like the sword, represents knives, swords, weapons of hostility, shorten lives. So it's not appropriate to use that which shortens the life, the metal, on the Mizbeach, which is to lengthen lives. Okay, let me go further. Now we're up to Nechoshet near the asterisk, around 10 lines from the bottom. Now, this is going back to the Braisa. In other words, the Braisa is talking about if a person undertook or he made a neder to give a certain amount of something to the Beis HaMikdash. So if the person would say, Harei Alai Nechoshet, copper, Nechoshet, Lo Yechomi Ma'a Kesef, he should not give less than a Ma'a Kesef worth, Ma'a Kesef, is, you know, a certain amount of money or silver. It's both silver and the money is the same thing. So the value of that he should give to the Beis HaMikdash. Tanya, Reb Lezer Omer, Lo Yivchot Mitzinur Ketana Shel Nechoshet. So Reb Lezer says he shouldn't give less than a small fork of copper. So the Gemara says, L'mai Chazya, what is a small fork good for? Amar Abaye, Shemachatin Bar Ptilot Umekanchim Hanerot. So Abaye says that they would trim the wicks and clean out the lamps with it. In other words, it's a tool, and you could do a little bit with it. And we want something that's usable in the Beis HaMikdash. All right, let's see further. Okay, Mekek Svarim Mekek Mitpachad. So he said this is the worm-eaten sefer, and the worm-eaten mitpachad is like the covering for the sefer. So the person's taking from the little pieces of the sefer out. So the Gemara mentioned, the Mishnah mentioned rather, that the shear is a kolshu, because I have to be matzniya kolshu. So now this is Amar Rav Yehuda. This is the Amar Rav Yehuda, not the Tana Rav Yehuda we had in the Mishnah. Amar Rav Yehuda, Mekek de Sifrei. Now he's giving the name of the worm for different things. So Mekek de Sifrei. Mekek is the worm, the name of the worm that eats svarim. It's the bookworm. Techek de Shiroi, and the worm for silk, he eats through the silk, is called Techech. The Ila de Inve, and the worm that goes through the grape is called Ila. Ufe de Te'ene, and the worm that goes through the figs is called the Fe. The Hay de Rimoni, and the Hay is the worm that goes through pomegranates. Kulu Sakanta, they're all a sakana for a person if he would ingest them. So the Gemara says, "Hahu Talmid Rabbi Yatid Kamid Rabbi Yochanan." There was a certain Talmud that was sitting before Rabbi Yochanan. Havaka Achil Te'ene. He was eating the figs. Amarle Rabbi Kotzin Yesh B'Te'enim. He says, "I think there are thorns in the figs." So what he was thought with the thorns were really the worm that was cutting into his mouth. So he says, "Amarle Kafli Peladain. So we have an argument that he said to him, the article said it doesn't seem likely he would say to him this way, but Rabbi Yochanan said to himself, Peh is the name of the worm. Peh has killed this one. In other words, that he was in, you know, gehachta tzuris, as we would say, from eating that. Let me just see. One second. Yeah. He said the Rif and the Rush don't have Amar lay, just Amar. And he says also, see the Dikduke Sofrim. I don't know what Dikduke Sofrim has. Okay. Any questions, comments, and thoughts on anything we did? Everybody, what's up?
Yeah, most of these things are kol shehu. You can't take anything.
Right.
But that rose, that baby rose, was a petal.
Right.
So that mean that you could take less than a petal? And you, I'm not talking
you,
about the
You know the answer to this, don't you? What's the answer, Fern?
Hatzishir?
Right. Well, first of all, you're not allowed to take it. All right.
Right, now, but there's no. But why does this one not be a kol shehu? What's different about the rose?
Yeah. So again, it's the issue of chashivus. In other words, like if you have a sefer that's a worm-eaten sefer, so any little bit has to be buried. But with the petal, so the rose is like the petal is used for fragrance or whatever. So a petal is like a davar chashiv. That's what the Gemara is saying.
But the pilpelet doesn't have the same chashivus.
The Gemara is saying a person would put a small amount in his mouth to give him like good breath. It's like, what are those sprays or whatever you have, you know, things like that. So pilpelet is a cool
thing. Okay, I just thought it was strange. That was the only thing that had a measure.
All right, let's take a look. All right, now we're up to the next Mishnah. You know, it's quite a few Mishnayot here. And it's going to the next parak also, all about the shiurim for hotzah. It began at the end of the 7th parak, and now we're in the 9th parak, and we're about to begin the 10th parak. And everything is talking about the shiur for hotzah. All right, let's take a look. So, manitin, hamotzi kupara rochlin. Now, if a person's kupara rochlin is a box with different fragrances in it. In other words, the rochel is the perfume merchant. So he's got different pouches with different, you know, fragrances, and he's got a box with all these different pouches in it. So hamotzi kupat arochlin af pi sheish baminim harbe inu chayav alachatat achad. Even though there are many different minim in there, he's only chayav one korban chatat. We view it as one act of hotza'ah. All right. He says, Zirone Gina. Now, let's say a person takes out garden seeds for the garden. Pachot mi kigro geret. So here, he's taking it out not to eat the garinim, though people eat garinim. He's taking it out to plant. So it's less than the size of a gro geret. Now, what exactly the shear is, not so clear. It has to be a little less. They quoted in the art scroll, they said at least the size of a gazayat. Rabbi Huda ben Matera Omer, Chamisha. The Tana Rabbi Huda says he's liable if he takes out five seeds. Okay, turn page. Now we're on Sadi Yemen Beis. Zera Kishuin, and here's our Kishuin again. So this is, here the article translates as cucumber. So Zera Kishuin, Shnayim. If a person takes out two cucumber seeds, he's chayiv. And those Kishuin are very chashiv, so two seeds are chashiv. He says Zera Diluim Shnayim. If he takes out the gourd seeds, two. Zerapula Mitzri Shnayim. Now, Chagav Chai Tahor. Now, this is like the living kosher locust, Kol Shehu, meaning whatever the size of that locust is, I'm Chayav for Hotzah on Shabbat. And the Gemara is going to say that I could use it like as a plaything for my son. Like my son likes to play with the locust. So the Gemara says, mate, if it's dead, Kigro Garrett. And then now when it's dead, now we view it as food. So food, the default is the size of a grogeret, a dried fig. Tziporet kramim. Now tziporet kramim, here the arts will translate as a bird of the orchards. Even though kramim is usually a vineyard, here they said sometimes it could mean orchard. Anyway, so tziporet kramim, someone would say it's a bird, but it's, the way the arts is doing it's a locust. So, and that's the way, let me see what Rashi has, that's the way Rashi learns also, right? He says, Rashi doesn't say mefurish here, but anyway, but that's, they're going with locust. So tziporet kramim, bein chaya bein meta kol shehu, whether it's alive or whether it's dead, the shear is a kol shehu. Why? Shematznino tol refua. They would use it, in other words, it has chashivas because you use it for refua. Rabbi Huda Omer, Afamotzi chagav chai tamei. Tana Rav Yehuda says, even if a person takes out a living non-kosher locust, the shear is koshahu, shemasino tolakat on the schokbo, because I would use that small locust, even though it's not kosher, I would use it to for my child to play with. And the Tanakama holds, I would not use it for my child to play with, because I'm afraid my child is going to eat the locust and it's not kosher. Okay? So that's the machloket. All right? Everybody good? What's up? Yosef? I see you took your hand. What's up?
Yeah, the non-kosher one, Rabbi Yehuda says,
It's a shear of kol shehu, means any size locust is a kol shehu because I could give it to my son to play with.
Even the non-kosher.
Even the non-kosher. And the Tanakhama says, no, I wouldn't give it to my son to play with because my friend's going to end up in his mouth.
Okay.
All right? Okay, let's take a look.
What exactly is a kosher locust?
So you got to wait till we do Masechet Chulin, but there are kosher locusts. They have certain simanim. Is Meir Abitan here tonight? Anyway, so Meir says that his father, in his father he was showing him, I think when he was younger, what the kosher simanim are. But in certain, you know, communities, they have a Masorah tradition that which locusts are kosher. And we don't eat it here in Western society, but, you know, Pi Halacha, some locusts are kosher. All right, let's take a look. Now, so the Gemara says, Uraminhi. Now, we said in the beginning that you're only chayim for taking out the seeds if it's pachot mikro geret or according to Rebutu Mateiru, five seeds. So the Gemara says, Uraminhi, we pose a contradiction between this and a Mishnah we learned earlier. The Mishnah says, Zevel b'chol hadak, when it comes to Zevel, which is like manure or fertilizer, and chol hadak, which is the fine sand. This is, for Hotza'a, because we're doing Hotza'a for a long time already. This is on Da'a Pei, but we're doing Hotza'a even longer than Da'a Pei. Zevel Chol Adak, Abel Kelach Shel Kruv, Dibur Rabbi Akiva. According to Rabbi Akiva, if it's enough to, you know, fertilize one stalk of cabbage, you're Chayiv. He says, V'chamim Omrim, Kidizabel Kereisha. The Chamim say it's enough, if it's enough to fertilize one leek. So a single leek. So the key is that we're saying like a single plant has chashivas. And yet when it comes to the Zerayim, we're not saying you're chayiv if you take out one seed. You know, even though here in this, the earlier Mishnah sounds like even a single plant has chashivas. That's why you're chayiv for Hotzah if you took out enough fertilizer to fertilize the one plant. So Amra Papa had Zaria had lo Zaria. So Papa says the difference is whether it's been planted or not. In other words, here we're talking about, he's taking about a number of seeds. So the seeds have chashivas, like how many seeds would I carry out to plant? I'm not going to plant one seed. But if it's already planted and growing, then it has a chashivas, even though it's one plant. But in terms of what's chashiv for me in seeds, only a number of seeds are chashiv for me, because I wouldn't normally go around planting one seed, right? So one seed does not chashuv, so I'm not chayiv for itself for the one seed. Everybody good? All right. Now, zera kishuin, we said if you're taking out cucumber seeds, two cucumber seeds have chashivas. So the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, hamotzi garinin, if a person is taking out seeds, im lati ashtayim, if he's taking out to plant, the shear is two, im la achila, if he's taking out to eat, kimlo pi chazir, then the shear is the size of a, now, when it says to eat, it means like for animal food. In other words, so if the purpose of me bringing out the seeds is I want to plant the seeds, then the shear would be two. But if the purpose, and again, when it says garinim here, there's Rashi here. Let's go to Rashi. Rashi says, where is it? Yeah, garinim, garine tamara. Rashi says it means date seeds, you know, the pits, date pits. So I'm taking out date seeds on Shabbos. So if I'm planning to plant them, two seed, two pits. Imla achila, but if I intend to use it for food for an animal, he says, kimlo pi chazir. Then the shear is like the mouth of the chazir. Bekamam lo pi chazir, achat. What is that shear? One pit would be chayav for hotzah. Imla hasik, if I'm using it for fuel, kidei lebashel beit zekalo. Then the shear would be enough to cook like the easily cooked egg, which we know is that chicken egg we had the other day. Im lecheshbon, if I'm taking out the pits, I want to use them to calculate. In other words, like I do number of pits, like, you know, I don't know how many hundreds of dollars that I get from this guy. One pit, two pit, three pits, you know, like that. So he says, Im lecheshbon shtayim, two, achem romrim chamesh. Achem, Remeir says five. Remeir figures like up to four, I remember, and then five, I need it. Tan Rabbanan, hamotzi shtei nimin mizanava sus. If a person takes out two hairs from the horse tail, he says, umizanav hapara, or two hairs from a cow tail. Is Shai here tonight? No. All right. Anyway, he says, chayav, shematznin oto lenishvin, because people would use those hairs to make nets, to, you know, to help in hunting. So even two hairs is kind of zavar chashuv. Mikshur shel chazir, if I take out the sharp bristle of a chazir, so in the Rashi says it comes out from his back. I thought it had like around his snout. I'm saying that Shai is not here tonight. Maybe somebody will help me with the bristles from the chazir. So he says, achat, and with one bristle has chashivas. Suri dekel is the palm fronds. It's like the leaves of the lulav. So that's basically what it is. So he says, suri dekel shtayim, two. Two is chashuv with that, because with the two, I'm going to use like to weave the basket, and I need, he's got two of them. I don't know if he's going to weaving or whatever, but two fronds is, he says, I would put through the heddle, he said in the art school, so it sounds like he's weaving them. He says, Tore dekel achat. If I'm taking out palm vines, then one vine is what I'm chayav for. All right. All right, any questions on anything we did so far? All right. Now, by the way, Rashi does say about the bristle with the chazir, he says, achat the chazir le'ushkifi, it's like good for a shoemaker, la taper osha mashicha shel tefira, like he puts it at the end of the thread or the rope that he's sewing with, the shoemaker. All right, let's see. Okay. Yeah, and Rashi says about the Ture Dekel is the, he says the vine, he says, lo yadakti l'maychazi, I don't know what the vine would be used for, Rashi says. So Rashi doesn't know, I don't know. All right, let's see back in the Gemara. Anybody have any questions? All right, I'm moving on. All right, so we're up to Tziporet Kramim Bein Chaya Bein Meita Kol Shehu. If it's this locust that's from the Kramim, which we said is the orchard, whether it's alive or whether it's dead, the shear is a kol shehu, because we said we use it for refuah. So my tziporet kramim, what is the tziporet kramim? So amara palya beiri, there's the name of it, and I don't know what that is. So amara abaye umishtakach bedikla dechad nevara. He says, Abaye says that it's found on the in a young palm, that's wound around but a single, and a locust is found in the young palm that is wound about with a single vine. In other words, when the palm tree is young, it only has one vine around it. So if you look at the young palm tree, you'll find the locust there. So see back in the Gemara, Mishtak B'dikla L'chad Nevara, V'Avdila L'chuchma, they use, what's the refuah? They use this locust as an aid, a memory aid. He says, Achile L'palga Dimine. In other words, you divide locusts, sounds like cut them down the middle. The right hand, the right part of the locust, the icy fern. The right part of the locust you eat right away. Upaga desmale rami la beguvta dechasha. You put the left part of the locust in this copper tube. Bechatim la beshitin gushpanki, and then you seal it with 60 seals. Vitali le beivar desmala, and then you tie it to your left arm. He says, "V'simanach." The siman to remember which arm you're going to tie this to is lev chacham limino, like it means like a wise man's heart is limino to his right. It means it pushes him in the positive fashion. Lev ksila smolo, the heart of a fool pushes him to the left, meaning to bad things. But the key is that lev ksila smolo, like the foolish person is on the left. So I want this, so I get chachma. So I'll do it to counteract that. the Chakim come to buy. He'll be wise what he needs. The Gamar come to buy and learn what he needs. But Achilei le'idach palga, and then he has to eat the second half. He has to eat the second half once he learns. Be'ilo ma'akir talmudeh. De'ilo ma'akir talmudeh. If he doesn't learn, his learning is going to leave him. All right, let me finish the parak and I'll take some questions. Rabbi Huda Omer, afamotzi v'chulei. Now the Tana Rabbi Huda says that even if I have a non-kosher locust, I could, even any size, I'll be chayiv, because the Tana Rabbi Huda holds, I'll give it to my kid to play around with the non-kosher locust. He says, the Tana Kama Savar, lo. The Tana Kama holds, no, I wouldn't take out that thing to give to my kid. My Taima, Dilma Achilei, because I'm afraid my son's going to end up eating this locust, he'll be eating treifas. He says, Ihachi Tahur Nami, but if that's the case, so the Tana Kama should be concerned even with the kosher locust when it's alive, because the young son could eat it when it's still alive, and that would be an Isur. We'll see. Now, there's no Aver Menachai with the locust, but there is still another problem. The Harav Kahana, Havakoyim Kamei Derav. Rav Kahana was standing before Rav, Bahavakama Aver Shoshiva Apume. He put it like a certain locust, a kosher locust, Shoshiva, he put it near his lips. It says, Amarle Shakle. So, and it was apparently alive. And Rav said to him, take it away. He says, Delo Lemru Mechel Ka'achilei. People shouldn't say you're eating it. Maybe he wasn't going to eat it, but he said, don't even put it near your lips. People shouldn't say that you're going to eat it. He says, V'ka'avar Mishum Ba'al Tishaksu Et Nafshoteichem. Then you'll be transgressed a law in the Torah, which is Ba'al Tishaksu Et Nafshoteichem, like not to make yourself abominable. Don't do anything to make yourself abominable. He says, Ella. So the point is like this. So if the concern is there's a live non-kosher locust that I'm afraid he's going to eat it, but then there should be a concern with the live kosher locust because maybe, you know, my five-year-old doesn't know from locust to locust. Ella dilma mayit va'achilei. He says the concern is that the non-kosher locust will die and then the kid will eat it. For Rabbi Yehuda, so we're only concerning, we're not concerning about kids eating it when it's alive. We're only concerned they eat it when it's dead. So the kosher locust, I'm fine if it's dead. But the non-kosher locust, I got a problem. For Rabbi Yehuda, imayit katan mispeit sapile. The Tana Rabbi Yehuda says, if the child's locust dies, he doesn't eat it, he gives a hesped for it. It's like, you know, we'll do, in other words, he's miserable, he doesn't want to eat his pet, or whatever. Now, all right, now there's an important Rashi on this. Let's take a look at this. All right, let's look at the Rashi Dilma Achil, which is 10 lines above the bottom from the last Rashi in the Perek. Dilma Achil says, now we said the Tanakam is concerned that the child will eat the non-kosher locust. V'afiluman d'amar katan ochel nevelot in beitim suvin alav la'afrisho. Now, the Gemara learns that if a katan is eating treifus, so the bezdin is not admonished to be mafrish the katan. In other words, if the katan's eating non-kosher food, so the bezdin is not admonished to separate the katan. Modahu lo yavin le'biadayim. But even that opinion would hold that I can't give treifus to the kid. I can't actually be a dayim, give him treifus. He says, detanya lo tochlum lo ta'achilum. In other words, like we could read it, lo, don't give it to eat. So I don't want to give my child. In other words, in Akinami, I'm not mitsuba to be mafresh him, but to actually give him something, that I shouldn't be giving him something non-kosher. All right. Any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we have done?
What is the standard for Aver Menachai?
Yeah, so it's Lechora, Aver Menachai is just animal, not insect.
What about a bird?
Bird, I believe you do have Aver. I have to check, but I think. Yes, certainly, yes. So bird has, right?
But not fish.
Yeah, so, yeah, right. All right, so.
Not fish.
I need to review this halakha. But the Chevra says fish not, but things require shechita, yes. That's what the Chevra says. All right.
What's the matir to eat a grasshopper? The matir for fish is fishing it out of the water.
Right.
You need a matir for a grasshopper?
Don't know. don't know the answer to this.
And meat, if it's from Sefer Yetzirah, you don't have to do shechita, right?
There's no shechita with the grasshopper. No shechita with the grasshopper. All right.
It doesn't have those simanim, but it might be something.
All right, let's see further. I don't have the answer to these questions. Hadron Lacham or Rabbi Akiva. Okay, let's do the next Mishnah. Okay, now, now Hamatznia Lazera. Now, let's say we said before, if a person is just carrying seeds out, so the chashivas would be the amount of seeds that a normal person would use for planting. But Hamatznia, let's say I individually put away a lesser amount because that's what I want to plant. Hamasni lazera ula dugma ula refua. If I put away a lesser amount for planting, ula dugma, a lesser amount a small amount was like to use a sample. In other words, a small amount I use as a sample. Let me see what Rashi says. Yeah, a small amount to use as a sample, ula refua, and then like to use as a medicine. He says, "V'hotzio b'Shabbat, and I carry in Shabbos, chaya b'chol shu, I'm chaya for any amount." He says, "V'chol adam in chaya b'lav elik shiro, but everyone else is chaya b'the shir." In other words, if I specifically am a matznia, a lesser amount, with intent to use that lesser amount, that becomes my shir for Shabbos with that amount that I put away. But stam, if I carried out, so I default to like community standards. He says. Chazar v'chniso enochiyav l'kshiro. But let's say I change my mind. I take out a seed on Shabbos and I put it in the field. Or put it down on a table, and then I say, you know what? I'm not going to plant the seed, and I bring it back into the house. So that being the case, I'm not chayav on that second hotza'ah because now I'm not planting it, and so now I'm the community standards. All right. Now the Gemara says,
"Lama le mitnei." Can I ask a question on the Mishnah?
Yeah, sure.
So this has become a subjective standard now. Does this go back to the other Mishnayot that we learned about the Hotzah?
Yeah, we're going to connect it to it in a minute. Okay, wait. Give me 6 minutes, okay? So the Gemara says, "Lama l'mitnei
hamat." Last part of the Mishnah, if you the Chazar
part. In other words, the person he was machshiv a smaller amount. Let's say he's machshiv one seed.
Okay.
So he does Hotzah with the one seed.
Okay.
And he puts it down, but he doesn't plant it. And then he decides he's going to bring the seed back into the house. So for the second hotza'ah, he's not chayev because he's putting it back in the house. He's not doing what the intent was to use it for. So now he reverts back to community standards. And community standards, the only chashev, like with two seeds or five seeds, depending what it is.
Chayev for the first one.
The first one, yeah. All right. Now, okay. So, okay. Yeah, Eric, Yosef, please mute yourself. Okay. Thank you. So, Gemara. So, lama le mitnei hamatznia litni hamotzi lazera l'dugma l'refuah chayav b'chol shu. Why does he say hamatznia? Why don't we say if a person carries it out for these purposes, he's chayav? So, Amar Abaye hachabay askinan gon shetznio. The case that the Taz is alluding to, he was matznia. He put it away for that purpose. B'shachach. And then he forgot why he put it away. In other words, he put away one seed. He forgot why he put away the one seed. And he says, "Vahashta kamapikle stama." Now he's just picked it up and he's walking out with it. So he says, top line in Sadi Aleph Amud Aleph. He says, "Ma'udatema bituli batla machshavato." I might have thought, so now like the slate is wiped clean. And he forgot about the intent. So we're going to, so kamashmalan. So, Kamashalan, if a person is presumed to do something based on his original intent. Okay, now, let's just see. Let me just see the Rashi to get to Fern's thing, okay? Let me take a look. Yeah. Okay, let's take a look. I think Amar Abaye, right? Okay, let's look at Rashi, four lines from the bottom on Sadi Amud Beis. Okay, Amar Abaye, Vaday Motzi Lazriya Chayav, V'Aval Gav, Delo Atzne Mi'ikara. In other words, a person, if he's carrying it out and he intends to plant the one seed, he's definitely chayav. Rashi says, "Umanitin debay matznia b'motzi stam ka'amar." And our Mishnah says you have to hide it away. It's talking about a person who just brought it out with no specific intent. Now, I think this is it. V'im tomar kvar shanu b'klal gadol Kol shenu kasher la'atznia in chayav el matznia. So that's presumably the Mishnah you meant, Fern, right? If it's not something the person would normally store away, the only one who's chayav is the one who stored it away. So he says, ha'matznia chayav. So why do I need to even teach me anything? I already know if a person's matznia, he is chayav. Ha'chamayaskinon to itzrich l'mitnia, gon shehitznio, ha'matznia, l'zera, o l'dugma. He put it away for planting or dugma to be a sample. He says, "V'shachach lama matznio." He forgot why he put it away. "V'hashta mapik leistama tatzlo mibay lebay." Now he just takes it out, carry from one house to another house. So kamash v'lan, he's chayiv on that hotzah. All right. Now we do have a few more minutes, so I think I'm going to do a little piece here. Unless anybody have any questions now?
Yeah, anybody? I have one.
What's up?
If I'm taking a seed out to plant it on Shabbos,
right?
I've already committed two aveiras at one time, correct?
No.
Yeah, I've carried.
Right.
And then I've done malacha.
Not yet.
No, I'm carrying out the seed and then I'm going to plant the seed.
You're going to plant. You didn't plant it yet.
Well, first of all, but that's the point. Would you just stop the clock? I mean, if I have a seed and I'm walking out to plant it, I'm going to plant it.
No, you haven't done the malacha yet. The malacha of Zoreya is sticking the seed in the ground. You didn't do that
Let's
yet.
Let's say you do both. Are those two separate aveiras?
Yes, they are. Absolutely. Remember, this relates to what we said before. So if you forgot today was Shabbos, so you'd be chayav just one korban, right? But if you remember today was Shabbos and you forgot the malachot, you'd be chayav two korbanot if it's b'shogeg. Okay, now there's a piece in the Gemara we spoke about, the kol shehu with the worm eaten sefer. So we want to focus on a sefer Torah that gets destroyed. So he quotes over here, the Gemara elsewhere, the Gemara is in Megillah. Rabbah says that sefer Torah shabala gonzino toetz al tamid chacham. If a sefer Torah is worn out, so we bury it near a chacham, near a tamid chacham. Afilu shoneh halachot, even if he was just a teacher of halacha. He says, Amar Bacha bar Yaakov uvechli cheres. Bacha bar Yaakov says you should put in an earthenware vessel. Shenemar unetem bechli cheres laman yamdu yamim rabim. You put in a chli cheres, so we'll stay for many days. You know, if you remember, what was it? They had some storm on it would hit the south shore more than the north shore, but where everybody got flooded. Was that Sandy? Yeah, I think with Hurricane Sandy. So many shuls or a number of shuls on the south shore were flooded, and a number of Sifrei Torah had to be buried. Do you remember this? And so they got all the Sifrei Torah. They had one mass burial.
Bell Harbor was the one that was hit badly.
Bell Harbor, but not only Bell Harbor. I know Rabbi Muscat was
a lot of cleanup.
Rabbi Muscat was an Oceanside. I think they got all the Rabbanim from the South Shore, and they had a mass burial, unfortunately, of these Sifrei Torah. Actually, it was for High Arbisfeld, Zichron Levracha, and they said that they buried his Yoredeya with him. I think he wanted to have this is the Yoredeya he used to study with the Rav, and he spent a lot of time studying it, and they buried it with him. So now the Gemara says, so the passage is codified by the Rabbam and the Shulchan Aruch. The reason why the Torah scroll is buried in an earthenware container in order to preserve whatever is left of the scroll. Should be noted that many authorities indicate the burial is not the only option for respectful disposal of a worn Torah scroll. If there is a safe and respectful location above ground where the scroll can be stored, such as an Aron, is permitted to store it there. Indeed, some indicate that storing the Torah scroll in a respectful spot in the synagogue is preferable to burying it. However, some authorities maintain the letter of the law and require burial. Now, a tragic event occurred in 1963 in which an electrical short circuit caused a conflagration which resulted in the destruction of a synagogue outside of Pardes Chana, Israel. Destroyed in the blaze, more Bamatin were beam six Sifrei Torah. So in 1963, the shul burns down, six Sifrei Torah get burned. The Rav of Pardes Chana, Rabbi Yoshua Zelig Diskin, I assume he's related to the famous Rabbi Yoshua Leib Diskin. Rabbi Yoshua Leib Diskin lived around 1900, so this I assume is maybe son, grandson. He queried Rav Vadi Yosef and Rav Eliezer Yehuda Waldenberg as to the proper procedure to follow in the respectful disposal of the ashes of these Torah scrolls. Independently, both poskim sent swift and lengthy responses. Amongst the questions discussed were A, do the ashes need to be buried? or could they be respectfully stored above ground? B, do the ashes need to be buried in an earthenware container, as what is warns the Torah scroll? An argument could be made that since the purpose of the container is to preserve whatever remains of the scroll, thus in the case of destruction by fire, being that nothing remains to be preserved, possibly there would be no need to bury the ashes specifically in earthenware jars. In other words, the halacha is you bury in earthenware, so to preserve what's there. But if everything is burnt and it's just a pile of ashes, maybe they're asking, do I even need the earthenware? Indeed, it would appear that this is the opinion of Rav Chanoch Agus of Vilna, the Maharei Cheshet, who I think is related to our own Bert Agus, Zichron Levracha. He says that if only ashes remain of a scroll, they need not be buried in an earthenware container or to the side of a Torah scholar. However, both Rav Avadi Yosef and Rav Eliezer Waldenberg ruled the ashes of a Torah scroll consumed in fire should be buried to the side of a Torah scholar, as indicated in the Gemara. Rav Waldenberg infers this from the very source of this law. The Gemara states without qualification, Sefer Torah Shabbala, a Torah scroll that became worn. This implies that any level of being unfit, even to the point where nothing usable remains of the Torah scroll, should still require to be buried. Further, and here's the connection, both Rav Yosef and Rav Waldenberg identify our passage as a source required that the ashes of a burnt Torah scroll be buried, because our passage indicates that worm-eaten remains of Torah scrolls need to be properly disposed of. In other words, the Gemara says, what is like kolshu? Why am I chayav for kolshu? Because I have to put it into Geniz, is what the Gemara says. So Rav Shalom Mordechai Shwadron, the Maharsham, of course, references our passage with the law of burial of worn Torah scrolls. In the end, both authorities rule that the ashes of the Torah scroll should be buried after a large public levaya, during which the uplifting words should be delivered in order to motivate the community to soul-searching and repentance. Okay, any questions, comments, or thoughts on anything we did? Okay, let me just end the tape 1 second.